We're going to get right into our conversation with David Dolan. He gives us our Middle East news update. And David, we've been discussing already on the broadcast about the speeches made at the United Nations General Assembly in New York City, and in particular, three speeches, the one by President Obama, the second one by Ahmadinejad, president of Iran, and then, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu addressing the world leaders and giving them somewhat of a red line number 101. That's the first course you take in red lines. And I thought he did an excellent job, but I would like to step back and have you give us an analysis of what you think. First of all, the president of the United States, he continually looks back to that film, supposedly, which was put together to denigrate the Islamic faith, Muhammad and Allah. But he really didn't say anything about what the world needs to know. What is America going to do with the Iranian threat, did he?
Well, no, it was sort of like the elephant in the room that he never, you know, directly addressed. And it seemed amazing to some of the Israeli commentators simply because, you know, a country that, well, let's put it this way. President George W. Bush called it part of the axis of evil. And he did that for a reason. He was talking about North Korea as well, Iraq as well, and he was saying these people are rogue countries. They don't listen to international opinions, and they're developing nuclear weapons. And as Prime Minister Netanyahu pointed out, this is not a dispute that they're developing nuclear capabilities. At least this is an open program. Ahmadinejad has walked around in his white smock, taking reporters through the centrifuges, showing them what the country's doing. So this is not a secret program, and therefore for President Obama to really not address what is undoubtedly the most critical issue that certainly the Middle East has faced in many decades, and really it's a world problem, because if you listen carefully to the Ayatollahs and the other leaders of Iran, they're not just saying that Israel will be destroyed, that's their immediate goal, but their long-term goal is for the United States, what they call the Great Satan, to be destroyed. And so they have declared war. They have declared war on the West, on Israel. The Saudis are worried, everybody else is worried, and it seems like the President of the United States is fishing on a fishing trip or you know, or on vacation or something. It just seemed odd to a lot of people that watched that speech that he really didn't address that issue the way it should have been.
And at the same time, the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, stands up pounding his chest with his radical rhetoric. He did not seem to give an inch on what the world is really concerned about.
No, and Jimmy, again, this isn't a first-run movie. This is a repeat. We've seen this performance now four or five times. Ahmadinejad going to the largest financial center in the world, and one of America's certainly its media center, its financial center, a very important city, and talking about destroying one of America's closest allies. Talking nonsense again about how Iran is this ancient culture that embodies this great people. Well, all that's true. Persia is an ancient power. This is the modern incarnation of it. Sadly, a very radical Muslim incarnation, but nevertheless, saying we're the oldest and the Jews have no right being here is just such an absurd statement. It was ancient Persia that invaded ancient Israel. You know, Israel is a okay, it's just crazy. And yet he does it every year, and we get sort of this lame response from most of the rest of the world to it. And it's really, Jimmy, if the UN had been in existence in the 30s, it's like Hitler had been five times to New York, and each time he'd said, I'm going to wipe out the Jewish people, I'm going to eliminate Europe of all of its Jews, I'm going to, you know, invade several of my neighbors because I'm going to set up this huge world Reich that's going to rule the world. And everyone was just yawning. Well, that's not quite the way it was, but it was true then, too, with the British and others thinking they could just appease Hitler with a few slaps on the wrist, and that's the theory that still is going on here in the United States and others, that these economic sanctions are going to make an impact on Iran. Well, they've been in place for years, and the Iranians continue to enrich uranium, and all that Netanyahu pointed out was that they are now at the final stages of this program. They can have a nuclear weapons capability within a year. He says half a year. The experts agree, and he pointed out this is not his, based on his Secret Service intelligence or something. This is based on the UN's Atomic Energy Agency, their findings, going over there and inspecting the program up front. They're saying that they've now enriched uranium up to 20%, and that taking it up, as Netanyahu very vividly demonstrated, taking it up to weapons-grade quality is a very swift process. It could be accomplished in just months. And so he's basically saying, folks, we're at the red line. We, the Jewish people, who were a third wiped out in the Holocaust, we're not going to just listen to another country saying we're going to destroy you and sit back and wait until they can do it. And if that message wasn't absolutely clear, then nothing was from these speeches this week.
Yes, absolutely. And the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, so articulate anyway, but when he brought that graphic to the stage and showed us where the red line should be placed, man, that it was a very important moment, I do believe. In fact, the Prime Minister of Canada, Prime Minister Harper, on a visit with Prime Minister Netanyahu, made the statement that Israel's Prime Minister's message at the United Nations is reverberating across the world. I'm hoping somebody's out there paying attention to what was said. Mahmoud Abbas came to the platform there at the United Nations. He continually tries to see if somehow the Palestinian people can become a part of the United Nations, albeit maybe not a member, but he's continually putting his effort forth too.
Well, he is, and you know, we have to recall that the Palestinians could have had a state in 1948, if they had accepted the UN's partition plan for a Jewish state and an Arab state there. They rejected it. They went to war. They lost. They tried again in 67. They tried again in 73 to militarily destroy Israel. And since then, they seem to realize that's not likely to happen, although the Iranians are talking about it, but they're talking about a nuclear attack, which the Palestinians cannot drop a nuclear bomb on themselves, can they? So they would be, this is a little mentioned fact, Jimmy, just an aside, that if Iran drops a nuclear weapon on Israel, the fallout is going to kill millions of Arabs, millions of Palestinians, millions of Jordanians. The cloud would actually head east because that's the prevailing weather pattern. It would go into Iraq. It would go into Iran itself. So it's just such utter craziness. But the Palestinians are trying again to get recognition at the UN, and that's their right to do. But until they actually set up a state, they're not going to have that until they deal with Hamas and decide who's really in charge of them. But if they settle down on a more moderate leadership and get rid of some of the radicals, they will have a state in that case, and then they can be a full member of the UN, but that's not happening this week or next week, that's for sure.
About 30 seconds, David. Talk to me about the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a 7-day celebration in Israel and around the entire Jewish world where the Jewish people live in their sukkah, a tabernacle, remembering how it was in the wanderings in the wilderness for those 40 years. But what's thrilling to me in Israel, Christians from all over the world come to celebrate with the Jewish people as well.
They do, and I've just had a report from David Parsons, a good friend of mine who's on the staff at the Christian Embassy, and they have a full house again. People have come from South America and Africa and Asia and North America and Europe as usual, and despite all the talk of war and all the the crumbling things going on in the region, the war in Syria, et cetera, people have still come, Christians have still come, and they're showing their support for Israel and standing with the country at this very difficult time.
The Bible talks about it, Zechariah chapter 14, where all the world will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's talking about in the future. But this is a precursor of things to come with Christians from around the world gathering in Israel, in particular in Jerusalem, for the Feast of Tabernacles. David Dolan, the man who covers the Middle East News Update for us, he's been a journalist for many, many years in that part of the world. His vantage point, the city of Jerusalem, and that's where you can see everything happening in the Middle East. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. We appreciate your time with us.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.